Okay, what we're going to do this morning is a little different. We're going to have our communion. Okay, what that's going to do is we're combining the message with the communion. So we're going to break bread together. So the first thing, does everybody have a communion cup? All right, please raise your hand if you don't have a communion cup, and the ushers will come down in a moment and hand one out to you. You see, the title of our message today is, Do You Want to Get Well? We're going to be covering two things. If you see here, we're going to be in John 5:5, but also we're going to be in another book, and I'll share with you in a moment. But before I begin, just want to let you know who my name is. My name is Reggie Wilson. Been a member of this church for a little while, right? A little while. But more importantly, I just want to share a real quick story I heard. Okay, this wife, she brings her husband out to church. It's his first time he ever experienced church. She's been praying and begging for him to come out. So she finally gets him out to church, and he comes. So when he comes and he sits right in the front, he comes with his backpack because right after he has to go to work. So the minister's up front, the minister's preaching the word, and guess what? His phone starts to go off. And as his phone starts to go off, everybody's looking, even the minister's looking directly at him, like, turn it off. So he tries to unzip his bag. He's digging in the bottom of it, but the whole time during the message, the phone is going off. So he finally gets to the phone, he turns off the phone. But by that time, everybody's giving him the evil eye, right? And he's in church. So everybody's looking at him. So at the end of the service, a few brothers walk up to him, shake his hand, and say, yeah, thank you for coming out. Next time, can you please silence your phone, right? Then the minister comes up. Hey, you know what? I thank you for coming out. But you know what? A lot of people are here to hear the word of God. So do me a favor. If you want to come out and hear this message, make sure your phone is shut off, right? First time he comes out. So after that Monday, he ends up going to a bar. He goes to the bar. He's sitting down at the table. The reason why, he was kind of awkward. He didn't have it together in a social setting. So he seemed a little weird, right? Get it? So he goes to the bar, and they have this big jug sitting on a counter of beer. He knocks it over, and it falls on a man's lap, right? So he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. The guy turns to him and said, no, it's all right. We'll take care of it. So the guy starts to clean it up, right? Another guy from another table comes over. He says, no, don't worry. I told the guy to get a mop. They get the mop. So everybody's helping clean the mess up that he created. Then guess what? They offer to buy him a drink, and he becomes friends with them. Now that's in a bar, right? But what should have been done in church? You see, we got to be careful when people seem a little outside of the box. They seem different. They still need to feel loved, and they still need to feel accepted. Because the bars will take them, right? All right, amen. So we can finish up the message, right? We're done? All right, do you want to get well? We're going to be in 1 Kings 18:30-35. You know, I want to talk about Elijah for a minute. Elijah is one of the greatest prophets. He did so many miracles in the Bible. This guy was, to me, phenomenal. He had great conviction. He was a man of boldness. But guess what? I want to show you a little bit of his character. We're going to be in 1 Kings 18 and in 1 Kings 19. You guys ready to read your Bible? You ready? You ready to get in? Tell your neighbor, look, I'm ready to get in the Word of God. All right, let's go. All right, in 1 Kings 18, verse 30, it says, then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Then he says, do it again. He said, and they did it again. Then he said, do it again. The third time he ordered them, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. I'm going to stop here for a moment. I'm going to go back a little bit. This is called, if you go into the scripture, the whole thing, it's called the Mount of Carmel. This is where Elijah took on 400 prophets of Baal. And he challenged them. He says, go on, bring all your prophets and I'll be standing here. You call on your God, I call on my God, and let's see who's going to be victorious. So he even made it harder for himself. He said, I'm going to pour water on everything, make sure it's there, because he wanted to prove that our God is God. Make sense? Let's see what happened. And it says, at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered them there. And Elijah said, they have, go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. I'm going to stop here for a moment. Here it is, Elijah. He's battling 400 prophets. They tried to call on their God. They did all type of crazy things. They couldn't do it. Elijah turns around. He does it. He even made it hard for himself. He says, pour water on it. Because the goal was for a fire to be set up. When that fire is burns up the wood and everything, it would prove who is God. And he did it. Not only did he do that, once it was found out that the prophets, those 400 prophets of Baal, were frauds, he had them executed.
That's right.
He just seized them and executed.
That's right.
And at the same time, there was a drought in the land. So when there was a drought in the land, he tells this king Ahab, he says, go ahead and eat and drink, because I hear the sound of heavy rain. Pretty much telling them the drought is over.
Right.
Think about that. All in one sentence, he tells them all of this.
Yeah.
Is this man not confident?
Yeah.
Is this man not bold? I mean, man, I wish I was like this guy. But listen, look at the level of confidence he had. But let's go to the next slide. But before we do that, I want you to do an exercise with me. You guys ready to do the exercise? All right, I want you to imagine this. You can close your eyes, keep it open, whatever you like to do. I want you to imagine your home right now. Your home. And you want to make lemonade. So what you do right now, you go into your refrigerator. You have a fresh lemon. Now I want you to put that lemon to your nose. Sniff right now. Sniff it. Do you smell the lemon? Okay, now I want you to put the lemon on the table, grab the knife, cut that lemon in half. Smell it again. Okay? Now what I want you to do with that lemon, I know you're not going to like this, bite into it. Did you taste it?
Yeah.
Okay, stay right there for a moment. I'm going to take you, I'm going to move on, but I want you to hold that thought for a minute. Good, so you tasted it. We're going to move on. Now we're going to shift gears. We're in 1 Kings 19. Remember all the stuff Elijah did?
Yeah.
Remember how powerful he took on the prophets of Baal? And he told Ahab with confidence, go eat and drink, because I'm going to bring water to the rain. The heavy rain is coming.
Yeah.
Let's see how the same guy looked. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Hold on, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bus, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. This is the same guy in 1 Kings 18 that took on all the 400 prophets of Baal and told the king, listen, don't worry about everything. Water's coming tomorrow or soon. Look at this. I want you to keep this thought in your mind. What happened? It says he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down. Again, 1 Kings 19, 7-11. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael over Aram. I want to go to some. Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. When we went to, I wanted to go through scriptures because it's so important, because it really resonates and it shows you, like, these are common people just like you and I. Here it is, this great prophet. He did all these miraculous wonders. Everybody saw him do all these wonders. Take on 400 prophets, right? And then what happens in 1 Kings 19? One woman told him, listen, I am going to kill you. And what did he do? He got up and hightailed it out of there. You know what? Sometimes, I want to make this point, sometimes our emotions could overcome our convictions. And we there's something we don't talk about. You want to see something that can block God's power? Let your emotions take the lead. You know, emotions can overcome your convictions. We all have pockets. I just want to share something real quick with me. I went to the doctor the other day. And when I went to the doctor, he says, you know, you got high cholesterol. You know, so you may want to change up your diet, or eventually we're going to have to put you on some pills. I'm like, what? So right away, I didn't want to take ownership of it. So what I did for me, my emotions got, I said, you know, I'm upset. And you know why I'm upset? It's the food my wife is cooking. It's the sauce. It's the sauce. It's the griot. It's the tasso. She needs to stop it. That's the reason. But you know what? I didn't want to believe it was me. I wanted to take the ownership off myself and put it on someone else. You see, we can't believe everything we think. Look at what all the miracles Elijah believed. And because his emotion was so strong, and sometimes it could be as simple. We don't know what happened in that past, when that past happened. It could be some trauma that he may have faced. Maybe during that period, he faced some trauma. And because of that trauma, it prevented him from seeing God. And that trauma could be anything. It could be fear. It could be something in his childhood. I don't know. But you have to think about, you know, there's levels or areas in our life where that trauma can take control. And guess what? When things really start to happen in our life, we rely on ourselves and not on God. Because you can see from Elijah, right, when you look at it, somewhere down the line, he relied on his emotions and not on his conviction and relationship with God. It got cloudy. His emotions made things blurry for him. You know, and like for me as well, one thing that I really have a hard time with is sometimes death. I remember when my dad died and I was in there, right? And my neighbor made a point and she said, Reggie, where were you? You, when he's really doing the yard work, you're right there with him. And I told my neighbor, I said, oh, man, I had to drop the money bag off at church. No, serious story. So always in my mind, I felt like I wasn't there for my family. Then my grandmother, right before she passes, she tells me, you know what, Reggie, you got to come see me more. Guess what? Did I see her more? When she was in the hospital in the end. So I always was feeling bad, like when it really counted, I'm not there for the people that are closest to me. And it stayed with me. And it resonated with me. And whenever something would happen or somebody would come to me with something, about certain situations, I would get defensive because I wanted to defend myself, because I wanted to make sure that I'm there for people. I am there for people. How could you say I'm wrong? I was there. You weren't there. And then it wasn't until I got help with that, counseling, and the counselor mentioned to me that really stuck out. She said, you say you weren't there for me, but it seemed like, weren't you responsible for the financial things when that person passed away or when this? I said, yes. So what makes you think that way? And it dawned on me, sometimes we all need special help at points in our life where we need someone to counsel us through it. And it's not, and God will use everybody in the Bible. He used so many people. God could come down and do stuff himself, right? Himself. But he uses people, anyone, right? So let's not discount in our church in general when we see mental health professionals and things of that nature. They are needed too. And we got to lean on them too, right? Because some of us could talk a lot. And sometimes you need somebody that's a professional person that can listen to what you have to say. And not everybody has 3-4 hours a week to hear you out, right? Even your brothers and sisters. So I just wanted to make that point. And listen, it's a quote. There is hope even when your brain tells you it isn't. I'm going to repeat that again. There is hope even when your brain tells you there isn't. Sometimes that internal conversation in our mind is just really crazy. Right? It's like when you go to McDonald's. I haven't been there in a while. I just want to be clear. I haven't been there in a while. I'm staying on track. But you go to McDonald's, and it has the same thing on the menu no matter what. You look on that menu. What is it? It's burger, fries. See, I don't know the menu. Some of you may know. If you want, you could shout it out. But there's a menu there. And the menu doesn't change much, right? Unless something radical happens. You see, the reason why I bring it up, we have a mental menu as well. Some of our mental menus are good. Some of our mental menus are not that good. But we got to be willing to do whatever it takes, if it's hurting us, to get the help we need so we can change that mental menu. Amen? Good. All right. As we want, real quick, there's some points if you want to write down. Elijah's emotions overcame his convictions. But what was God's response? Boom. He provided an angel to give him food. You remember that? God spoke gently to him. He came in a whisper, and then, see, he reminded him that he was not alone and renewed his purpose. He told him where to go. He says, go back to Damascus and go raise up, you know, Elisha. But he gave him instructions. You see, you got to remember, when you get help, you'll know where to go, and help is always there for you. You're not in this fight alone. Okay, another quote. You don't have to control your thoughts. You just have to stop letting them control you. Isn't that so cool? That is cool. All right? Dan Milma. Okay. As we wrap up here, John 5, verse 5. And this is where we get our theme, do you want to get well? It says, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick your mat up. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. And I always love this story here. Here was this man, and he was an invalid for 38 years. Can you imagine somebody sitting there for 38 years and no one helping him? At least that's what he said. Right? That's what he said. We don't know whether he asked for help or not, but clear as day, he was there for 38 years. And my question is, as I look at how Jesus responded here, he didn't say, oh my gosh. He just says, get up, pick your mat up, and walk. And the questions we got to ask ourselves, I'm like, why did Jesus just say that? It was just sharp, to the point, get it done. Yeah. It could be a thing where this person here, this invalid for 38 years, could have conditioned himself to just think that way. No one's going to help me. Think about it. When you're in pain for that long, how many challenges may arise while you're in that pain? What can happen? You'll start to doubt everything you believe. But Jesus came and gave him hope. I want to repeat that place. Jesus gave him hope. You see, he came walking on that road and he helped him and he gave him hope. And he told him, pick up your mat and walk. And it says at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Question, what happened if he didn't pick up his mat? What would have happened if he didn't listen? What would have happened if he wasn't humble enough to say to himself, you know what? I need to just follow these instructions so I can get well. This is something to think about. Okay? Do you want to get well? Getting well. Sometimes your emotions can cloud your judgment. Be mindful of what you are thinking about. And if there's a problem down the line, if you're uncertain or something's wrong, seek the help you need. A lot of times we're scared to seek help. We think that something's bad or something's wrong. Remember the story about the guy that was in the bar before? He got help in a bar where he felt loved. Why? Because when he came to the church, he felt ostracized because he was awkward or he was not like everyone else. So the point I'm making here, as we think about Jesus, Jesus took in everybody. He took in folks that were awkward. Think about it. He took in prostitutes, all type of people. And those are the folks he raised up. And if you're in that, I just want to encourage you with this. In 1 Peter 5:7, the scripture says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Amen? So as we think about Jesus this morning, as we set ourselves up, as we have communion and we reflect on him, let's remember the love that Jesus has for us. Let's remember he wants us to pick up our mat and walk in any area of our life that we're having an issue with. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus, his love and his compassion. Thank you so much for the word of God that cuts right through our heart, that changes our thinking, that helps us develop and grow. Thank you for our mental health, God. No matter where we at, we can seek help and there's nothing wrong with it. You put people in our lives in all different areas of our lives to help us, to draw us closer to you. We pray as we take the communion this morning that as we reflect, it helps us to change, develop. We pray for the body that was broken, as well as the blood that was shed, that it helps us to live changed lives forever. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.